Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Okay. Buddy, it's a huge day, man. Humongous day. You know why? Because today the pandemic is officially in the rearview mirror. You still have to be vigilant. You still have to be washing your hands and be smart. All of it. We go to 100% today. We're back. The small businesses that have scuffled for so long, back. Restaurants, bars, and the little slice of blue heaven on Chicago's north side will be at 100%, and the dirty Cardinals will be in there. Beat their ass.
That little slice of blue heaven, is that a restaurant over there?
I'm not
sure. What are you referring to?
It's the federal landmark known as Wrigley Field.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember that. I remember going there once. Well, I'll tell you, you know, the thing that I think about with the pandemic and where we are today, you know, you wonder how life changes, right? No matter whether you are a believer or not, you know that your life has changed because of the pandemic. And one of the things that I missed is going to the movies with Peacock, going to the movies with my wife, and that, you know, even though I'm not the biggest movie guy, if there's something that is worth seeing on the big screen, it's just a night out. Nothing like dinner and a movie. You know, going out to the south suburbs or the south side for me, or downtown to watch movies and then having dinner afterwards, that was always a routine. She works harder than I do. You and I are just in the toy department. She's actually doing God's work, trying to keep a TV station on the air.
We're in Disney World every day.
Pretty much. Yeah. We're just playing around the toy department. Our day's over at 10:30 some days. Point is, though, is that after she's done with her job, she likes to be able to go out and just be able to eat out in an outdoor cafe, go to the movies, just normal life, right?
Yep.
What normalcy was for us before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And now to see that we'll be able to do that again and try to do it without fear, that's a positive for sure for us.
So today I have to do an appearance for the station from 1 to 3 at Yoxie's in Wrigleyville.
That's also something we haven't had around here in about a year and a half. Actually, appearances.
Right.
Going into places.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I am going to be at Yoxie's from 1 to 3. We'll do some trivia and we'll give away chances to go with you and I on a luxury motor coach up to Milwaukee for Cubs Brewers and sit in a suite up there.
Yeah, not only that, we're going to be on a bus.
I'd call it a luxury motor coach.
Well, of course you
would.
Sounds
better.
Well, of course you would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say a bus because that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You can dress it up all you want. You and I are going to be on a bus.
Going to Milwaukee.
I know it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable for you because you're not in the back of the limo this time with the tinted windows.
Correct.
Jeeves, take me to the old County Stadium. They call it AmFam Stadium now. I call it County. Where's Gout? Take that.
So when I leave here today, usually we meet with Mike after the show.
Our boss.
Correct.
Yes.
And usually on Fridays, he says, start your weekend. Good show. See you. See you Monday. So I am really fired up to get in the car and drive up to Wrigley, park the car, and find some outdoor place to sit and eat. Because
it looks like you're fired up. Have you had a hard fall?
It looks like you've taken a hard fall. Hit here for emergency SOS or I'm okay. I fell, but I'm okay. I did not fall.
Okay.
I did not fall.
Boy.
Okay. I'm looking for like an outdoor cafe up near the ballpark.
Working with this senior citizen every day. It's
correct.
Amazing. Yeah.
I am looking for an outdoor place to sit down, have breakfast, chill, enjoy the gorgeous weather,
mm-hmm.
and go, holy blank, the city's back.
you know, some things we took for granted because you didn't know that you'd have to have a time in your life in which you'd have to stop doing what you love.
Right.
Going to restaurants, being able to meet with family or friends, just be close to someone in line to be able to get Starbucks, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So things change. It just shows you that as comfortable as we can be as Americans, as people, you never know when there could be change.
Correct.
And the restaurant also part of it is interesting too. So Cap, the last good time for me to be out, out.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how long ago this was. This is All-Star Weekend for the NBA.
Right. That was February of 20.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
The last time where I'm spending a lot of time out is because All-Star Weekend was so much fun. That means the entire NBA universe comes to our city, a world-class city like Chicago. All the bars and restaurants, downtown, south side, north side. Anywhere you look, you just open up a door and there would be an NBA All-Star in it, or an NBA Hall of Famer, or an NBA personnel person. That's when I was out last, out late. Multiple nights.
Right, because we get up early.
Yeah.
And so we're not out late during the week. And by Sunday, you're like, all right, I got to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we love what we do.
Sure.
But man, so what is the first thing out there that people are going, I got to do that today? I got to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
Is it dinner tonight? Is it my wife went online and bought tickets to go to the ball game. And they're going to be at the ballpark. They're going to have dinner after it. I've got something else I've got to take care of, and I'm going to meet them after. And it's like for me today to get to somewhere I can eat outside before the appearance and then be at Yahtzee's and talking baseball with fans of the baseball team that's going to be playing there today, the Chicago freaking Cubs, my team,
yeah,
against the Cardinals. Dude, that like 5 hour span right there will go, I'm back.
Sure.
Our lives are back. Baby, I got my life back.
And for those of you listening saying, well, I've always gone to bars and restaurants all throughout the pandemic, this doesn't necessarily concern you. It's just about others that Cap and I know, and then also listeners that always want to do the things that they want to do, but they could not because their favorite restaurant or their favorite bar was closed. Or because it was limitations, they cannot have a full group of people there, 50 people, 25 people. So for those that have gone through that, and Cap knows a lot of these restaurant owners, this is big for them because it's open now and they could be able to try to recover some of that money that they've lost over the last year plus.
Yeah, so that's very well said, Hoodie. There are so many small business owners that are out there today going, I cannot believe we're still in business. We're alive. We made it. PPP loans, and we did whatever we could to keep people. I'm so happy for those people. And again, there are a lot of people that lost people over the last year to this awful pandemic, and our hearts are with them. But the sun will be shining in this city, and everything is wide open again. What are you excited to do? 312-332-3776. Like, you get done here with me at 10:30, let's say. We're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, first thing you're doing?
What am I doing today? I'm washing clothes.
Wow.
I'm going, says
I'm back.
Yeah, it is. It does. You know what? Because that is normal for me. That's normalcy.
You do the laundry in the house?
Yes. I've told you this before, but thanks for listening to the show.
I can't.
So the bottom line is that and then going to the dry cleaner. The dry cleaner near me has been closed or it had only short hours. Now it's going to be more open and also on the weekends. So I got to get that done. And a few other things, too, are just around the house. And this weekend, we'll be going to a restaurant. Instead of being able to, you know, pick up from the Pink Taco, we could actually go into the Pink Taco if you want to downtown this weekend.
How about that?
You go to the restaurant.
How about that?
Inside. And sitting down. That's the difference.
Yep.
So, I know that sounds small, but it is a big difference from what it used to be.
So, Cubs-Cardinals today. It's, for me, the team I despise more than any other in sport. Green Bay Packers are right there. Notre Dame football, I know they air on the stations, probably third on the list. But the St. Louis Cardinals, more than any other team in any sport.
What did Notre Dame do to you? Do you remember?
Just
tell the story. What did they do to you?
Nothing.
You dislike them because why? There has to be a story. Now, the Cardinals, I think it's pretty clear, right? That's a longtime rival for over the years. You're a Cubs fan. The Cardinals are beneath you from your standpoint, right?
And they were always above me. They were always better than us.
Well, I mean, but they're beneath you as far as your fandom. You're like, I don't like the Cardinals. They're just, you know, I don't like them at all. But Notre Dame, where did that come from?
Growing up, it was, I just, that fan base. And not the basketball side.
No.
It's just that football team, man.
I like Coach McLeod. He had a big fro.
He did have a big
Take
fro.
That.
I was doing his games then. There was just, either you loved Notre Dame football or you despised Notre Dame football.
Yeah.
And that's just who I was. I just couldn't wrap myself around the Irish.
More of a DePaul guy.
Yes.
Yes. Leaning more toward DePaul than
my dad. My late father went to DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
We had season tickets to DePaul games. But, yeah, there was just something about Notre Dame football, man.
With the Cardinals, I completely understand this. I'm on the outside looking in, but I've watched this rivalry for a long time. And Whitey Herzog was my guy. Just watching him, the way they were able to get it done from a baseball standpoint, everything worked. It was a turnkey team. You turn the key and everything worked.
Right. It was like a new car driving off the lot every day. And, you know, people out there are like, I can't believe you hate Notre Dame. Look, when you dislike a team, that is the ultimate sign of respect. I'm not denigrating the quality of the program of the Cardinals or the Packers or the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. They just weren't my teams.
Makes sense. But now you have an opportunity, especially when everything opened up, 100%. We'll be able to see some Cardinals fans. If you see them, they're going to be in shorts and usually black socks and sandals.
Correct.
Or white Sansibel slacks and a white belt.
Correct.
So you'll be able to see them. They'll be part of this 100% that's going to be at Wrigley Field as well. You've got a great time now to be able to beat up on them because they're really banged up and hurt.
They are.
And you've got the mighty Schilt. He'll be there telling you about your baseball, how your baseball should change. He'll be there as well. So this is a great opportunity this weekend with great weather, 100% capacity, and a banged-up Cardinals team for the Cubs to beat up on.
You know that I have been supportive of the day they hired Tony La Russa. I like Tony La Russa a lot. And I know I'm in the minority there, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
No, I am.
Nothing made me happier than when the Cubs would beat the Cardinals' ass, knowing that that guy, Tony, or Mike Matheny, who I was not a huge fan of, those guys had to make that long walk all the way like a maze back up to the clubhouse, and here go Cubs go playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, when he was out with us, said, yeah, I couldn't stand it. And that made me happy.
Right.
And that's what I want today. Go out and beat their ass.
Well, you certainly have momentum coming from the San Diego series. That surprised me, the Cubs, the way they played against San Diego, now against a St. Louis Cardinals team. Again, the plan is to just wreck Jed Hoyer's plan, if you're the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Wreck his plan. Keep winning. Continue to have momentum despite whatever's happening with the ball club. Keep winning because it makes it hard for Jed to unplug this team.
Correct.
You keep winning, they'll add on, and then you'll have hopefully you'll have that momentum going into September.
All right. Rick Hahn spoke about how the team will approach the trade deadline now that the White Sox have suffered another devastating injury. You'll hear from Rick, and we'd love your thoughts. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. City's back, baby. Be right back.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
If we were fully healthy, you know, our needs list would potentially be shorter. Again, over the coming weeks, we hope to have a little more clarity about potential timing of potential returns, which would influence those talks. Obviously, if we get bad news anywhere along the line, that might move something up, a position of need up the list. But for now, we're going to continue to engage in talks about what we've identified as the likely areas that we need to improve and see where it leads.
That is one Rick Hahn, Executive Vice President, General Manager, Chicago White Sox, after another devastating injury, this time to Nick Madrigal. He is done probably for the year with a torn hamstring. And I was telling you this morning, and not saying they're the same exact person or the same exact injury, but Carlos Carrasco, who's older, he's 32 versus 24 or 25.
Sure.
He tore it at the end of spring training. They don't expect him back till the end of July, if they're even remotely close. So that's what, a four-month injury at least? And he didn't have surgery, Carrasco. You're talking about end of July, August, September, October. He's done.
He's done for the year, at least from my standpoint. Because when I saw the report, I was thinking, okay, maybe 10, maybe a little, 60. Like, oh, geez. And when you see him go down the first base line, it didn't look that serious at first, right? It just, so I'm going to miss the little flea. I'm going to miss him. I don't want to miss his glove, but I will miss how opportunistic he is offensively. The way he's able to hit in angles. For a little guy like that, we're able to spray the ball. I can't come up with a comp to him. Like Brett Butler, maybe? Like little guys that could be able to just spray the ball.
Right. But he has a little pop in his bat.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not saying he's a home run guy, but he has a little pop in his bat. Here is Rick Hahn. How long can your team survive all of these massive injuries?
What we're dealing with here is a first-place team that has overcome numerous challenges already this season. We've seen various guys step up with the opportunities they've been provided over the first 10 weeks or so of this season. And over the next several weeks, we're going to have more opportunities for other players internally to be given the opportunity to step up and help us stay afloat, if not ideally expand our lead in the division. You know, with regards to some of the other things that we've had to endure, there remains optimism that some of these players will return at some point over the course of this season. So we're going to potentially have some help from our own guys internally who are going to get additional opportunity. We're going to potentially have help from some injured players returning. And obviously we could well have an interesting next few months leading up to the trade deadline based on where our needs sit at that time. So it's hard for me to be anything but extremely pleased with how the team has responded thus far to challenges like this one. Obviously, you don't want to keeping these on top of each other and creating additional challenges. But if there's one thing this team has shown over the last several months is its resiliency.
Yeah, a lot of resolve from the White Sox. I like Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn, you don't want to play cards with Rick Hahn. You don't want to play cards with him because he's always going to have the same face. He says stuff and then he doesn't say anything at the same time.
Right.
But there's always meat there on the bone if you listen very closely. You got to lean in a little bit. Like, Rick, what is Rick saying? You got to lean in a little bit, right? Because I know what he's talking about. He says we're a first-place team. It sounds like the White Sox will try to add on.
No doubt.
If they can here by the deadline. And so along with this, as Tony La Russa learns his team, perfect example is last night, right? So the White Sox win 5-2. I was very comfortable watching the game because you get a home run from Grandal off the bat against new age David Wells, Ryu, on the mound.
Who's
for the
really
Toronto.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a big guy up there. He looks like David Wells in the wine. I'm like,
a little portly.
Yeah. I like it because a big guy can still get it done. I prove it to you every morning.
Every morning.
Nonetheless, I liked what I saw there. Keuchel gave you quality as a starter. Gave you six innings and eight strikeouts. I like that. But here's La Russa. Let me give him credit, right? Write this down, a little credit. So it's the left-hander for Toronto, and you see the White Sox, again, tinkering with the lineup. They move Mercedes all the way up to number two against the lefty.
Yep.
Does it pay dividends? Yes, 2-for-4 with a run. Now, Mercedes probably should be in the middle of the lineup every night. He moves him up to two. Anderson, Mercedes, Moncada, Abreu in the cleanup, and Grandal coming through. He continues to try to figure out what works and does not work. He's not turning the screws, Cap. He's tightening the screws on the White Sox.
Correct. I was talking to Tom Ackerman, my friend from KMOX down at St. Louis yesterday.
St. Louis.
And he said that many times Tony would look at the analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I pay attention to them, but I'm not married to them. The front office may be married to those numbers, but I know Jonathan Hood is better than what you guys are telling me the computer says. And my gut tells me I'm playing him today.
Well, you need to have a sample of games to find out who can do what, though. That's a way that works. Any good manager, to me, should be able to look and say, you know what, let me take a look at these numbers. Well, how does the player feel? Now, how do our staff feel? Now, let's go move forward. You don't do it like Kevin Cash and go, whatever you guys say upstairs is what we're going to do. That's nonsense. That ain't baseball. Baseball has to have some kind of gut feeling to me.
Agreed. 312-332-3776.
Do you have a Madrigal comp? Let's talk about that. Who does the Madrigal remind you of now he's out of the lineup?
Let's go to Mike in Orland Park. Hey, Mike, what's up, Cookie?
Hoodie. David Eckstein won two World Series, I believe, with Anaheim. Yeah. Look at his comps. I mean, you know, struck out like 40, 45 times a year.
That's a good
280,
one.
290 batter, 150 hits a year. So go look at his comp, and you'll see that he's pretty close. He was 5'7", too. So there you go.
I like that.
That's a pretty good one. He played for who, Anaheim and the Cardinals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mike, thanks, man.
I'm going to look it up, Mike. Thank you. Yeah, a little flea that has a little pop. I like David Eckstein. That's a good name.
It's a good player. Mo is in Frankfurt. Hey, Mo, what's going on, Sparkles?
Captain Hoodie.
Bump, 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 bump.
Hey, guys, how are you? Listen, I'm going to pull a cap, and you can put the flipper sound on right now because I was really against Tony La Russa a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what this team needs is what he's bringing. And you know what? I like the guy now. I don't like him. I mean, you know, he's here. But what the team's going through, they're still in first place, and they got all these injuries because of the fact that they're strong in heart, right? So that's just what it is. Now, so Hoodie, you want to go play the outfield? I'll play second base. I think we can do this, man.
I can play left field for you. I can do that. I can play left field and catch. Because that's what I used to do. I was a catcher. I could do that. I have a nice big target for you, if you're part of the expression.
We don't need a catcher, but yeah, we need a couple of outfielders maybe. But who knows what the trade deadline brings in or whatnot. But this is a season where we have to, they got to go through it. You know, this is you don't just win a championship because you got talent. No, you have to have guts. And that's what the White Sox have to go through, and that's what they're going to go through.
Mo, have a great weekend, man.
Take care, guys.
City's alive. Enjoy it. 312-332-3776.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you a question. I was looking at, I don't know if you have that over there. I know it. I have it on mine with Eckstein's numbers. So over 10 years with Anaheim and St. Louis, a little Arizona, a little Padres toward the end of his career, the Eckstein slash numbers were 280, 345 on base and 355 slugging. He had 1,414 hits. And so he always had 100 hits or more, I would say, 6 out of his 10 years, something mm-hmm. like that. That's kind of like, if that's the ceiling, that's not bad, is it? For him as a player?
I think you expect more, though, out of the number 4 overall pick.
I think that's it's always about the expectations. And Madrigal, as the 4th overall pick, as Cap just pointed out to me, that's the one point where David Eckstein had, I think most people would say, that's a very successful career, right?
Yeah.
Multiple World Series, and he, like you said, the numbers, very solid. He was always a game or two, and he had some big moments in the playoffs, too. So I think that's why people may remember David Eckstein fondly. And I will say this. From what I've seen from Nick Madrigal, he seems like the type of player who, in the playoffs, in big moments, I would feel very comfortable with at the plate because of his two-strike approach. I could see a situation where if he was available and hitting in the playoffs, he comes through in a big way when you need a big hit because he's already done that.
He also did the little things. So you got to hit the ball to the right side. David Eckstein delivered. You got to get a bunt down. David Eckstein delivered. Routine grounder. David Eckstein more. 99.9% of them ain't booting it.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between Madrigal and Eckstein.
But Eckstein was a seasoned pro, and Madrigal's a young guy.
And I would, he is young, and I still think there's more ceiling that Madrigal can achieve. Like Eckstein would be fine, but I think there's a chance he could have a better career than David Eckstein.
That injury, I've pulled a hamstring, dude. It's the worst.
When I'm hoping that when Madrigal returns, when he takes the infield, he'll have a glove that doesn't have a hole in it. That'd be a nice switch. No hole in his glove.
He's better than that.
Have you watched the games?
Yes.
I don't think you have.
Every game.
I don't think you watch the game.
He makes a few mistakes. But
a few.
Johnny in Oak Park, real quick. Hey, Johnny, what's up, Sparky?
Oh, not much. I just want to talk too. Hoodie, his glove has been better up leading up to the injury. Beginning of the season was bad, but his glove was getting better.
Preach.
And also my high comp for him at the ceiling, he reminds me a lot in stature and how he hit to Dustin Pedroia a little bit.
Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, Pedroia had a little more pop. There was power that Madrigal hasn't shown yet. Johnny, thanks, man. Have a great day, all right? Stay safe and healthy out there.
Yeah, have a good solid glove when he returns. That's always good to have.
Just be solid. I don't need a gold glover. But that guy can hit. He can rake.
I also want quality baseball, you know, kind of thoughts when he's out there. You know, like base running.
Yes.
Little things like, hey, he's just got to shore up some things. That's all. Listen, we can pretend like he's like some kid from the IHSA that you can't touch and talk about. But I will always take a look at a draft pick that high, and I will look at it very closely. I want him to be the all-around solid player for the White Sox if he's going to be around here for the long haul. Is that too much to ask?
Did they leave anyone on the board in that draft, like picking four? Was there anyone that – I'm not saying somebody from the third round that made it. I'm talking like picks five through 10.
I believe off memory Jared Kelnick, who has – like he's in an 0-for-39 slump.
He's back in the minors.
Yeah. But he's somebody who has a higher pedigree as a prospect who people are more excited about. But he was drafted, you know, don't forget, he hit the majors very early for that draft class. So we haven't really seen a lot of players have the opportunity to come up and prove themselves just yet. So I think this is one of those situations where time will tell if they made an egregious error in the pick.
We'll find out.
Boy, if he's Dusty Pedroia, my God.
Yeah, that's yeah, Cap's right. Way too much power to cop.
Yeah, Dustin Pedroia is that guy could take the ball.
Didn't Pedroia win an MVP?
I believe he did.
Yeah,
I believe he did.
And finished as a 300 hitter.
That was one of Theo's best draft picks.
Yeah,
that was a great one.
He was a hell of a player.
Hell of a player.
He really was.
312-332-3776. With injuries stacking up, what is the latest on Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez? We'll let you hear from Rick Hahn on that next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, we got a ton of injury news yesterday. I mean, two massive injuries in Chicago sports.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the other one, Coby White, a little bit later in the show. Don't forget Anthony Rizzo, 9:35. We got to ask him about Darvish's walk-up song. We got to ask him about where his team is at today. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing where they're not at the protocols. They're one of the few teams now in Major League Baseball that is not at 85%. Does it tick him off? Does it issue in the locker room? I don't know. If you've got a question, tweet at TweetJHood, at the Catman. And then the other injury we've been talking about is Nick Madrigal. This guy is a spark plug. He is a really good offensive player. He's a young kid learning on the job, but he's on a team in first place. And with all these injuries, you look at the guys that have gone down, and your club's, what, 4.5 up?
Yep.
Pretty damn impressive. But Rick Hahn was asked about Eloy and Luis Robert. Is he optimistic they could return this season?
Yeah,
it's
a big question.
That's a big question, man.
Both he and Eloy are progressing well. Their trajectories are both good, and we remain optimistic on both returning at some point this year. Ultimately, on both players, just to sort of manage what is coming next, on both players, at some point, we'll hope to be able to say they've been cleared to resume baseball activities. At that point, given how much time they've missed, it's still going to be a several-week process before they're ready for a rehab assignment, which will be the next stage. And only once they're headed for a rehab assignment am I going to be able to give you like a satisfactory or a satisfying answer in terms of when can we expect them back. But each of them are deep into phase one and closing in on getting ready for part two, which is the clearance and resumption of baseball activities.
That does not sound like they're anywhere close.
I expect them to be September call-ups. Like when you try to call up someone, you need to bolster your roster. I expect them to be maybe after the Sox have clinched, knock on wood that they clinch, that those two would be ready to be able to be in action in October. That's the hope.
When you hear several week process before they're ready for a rehab assignment.
Sure.
What is a several week process? Is that two more months?
Well, thank God they're young because they can spring right back.
Right.
I mean, I know, listen, I'm not trying to downplay the injuries, but as a White Sox fan, I'm looking forward to seeing those two back in the lineup at some point. However, looking at this White Sox team, and this is the reason why it's quite the story, not only here but also nationally, is the way that these some of the others have been able to lock in. You know, just like any other team, right, you look at your big guys, and in this case, it's Abreu, it's Grandal, it's Yoan Moncada, it's Tim Anderson. But then when you have an Adam Engel, and you can plug him in, and Adam Eaton, and Andrew Vaughn, Jake Lamb, Lory Garcia, you get these guys in there, Cap, that are getting it done defensively. Some of these guys are supposed to be on the bench or infielders, and they're playing the outfield. I'll take that. I'll take that, and if they can continue to get that done, especially defensively, until you see Aloy and Robert back, I'm good with it.
So I'm pulling up the White Sox stats, and I'm going to ask you, diehard White Sox fan that you and Meller are, if I had told you that here we sit on June 11th, mm-hmm. Grandal would be hitting 160, 160, 252 for Abreu with 11 home runs and 48 knocked in, and you'd have 199 for Adam Eaton, and that the guys that were the lion's share of getting the playing time, Leury Garcia hitting 236. Billy Hamilton was getting a ton. Now he's on the injured list, 217. Jake Lamb getting a ton of run, 242. Mm-hmm. Danny Mendick, 190. Engel's been on the injured list. If I had told you all of that, and oh, by the way, Jimenez and Robert won't play at all till September at least. Mm-hmm. And you're 4.5 in front, you would have never believed me, right?
No, especially with some of those names that you gave us. And it's just, it's about empowerment. It's the empowerment era for the White Sox because some of those names that Cap just gave us, Meller, toward the bottom, again, these guys are supposed to be fill-ins or they're supposed to be able to give some of their better hitters the day off and, you know, they may play a day game after a night, whatever. But these guys are getting meaningful playing time and they're actually executing along with the others. That's a positive.
No, and listen, over the last couple weeks, two guys like Jake Lamb have stepped up and had some big hits. And I do think, though, the White Sox are potentially reaching the point of no return with the injuries. Like, I feel like they can continue to sustain. If you look at the way the lineup is constructed right now, the top five or six are still, you know, still better than serviceable. And 7, 8, 9, it's starting to get a little bit dicey.
Yeah.
So the length of the lineup is going to be problematic without Madrigal there. But if they, as long as they're fortunate and they can avoid any more real key injuries with this pitching, I think they can get by until, like Rick Hahn said, when they actually get a chance to look at Eloy and Robert. But it's going, like, again, any more significant injuries, and this could be a real problem for the White Sox. So,
no doubt.
JR's back there. JR, do you go? Is JR back there? I think I see him. Is he lingering back there?
Don't you see the smoke coming up around there?
No, I didn't. I didn't see the Pope back there.
Friday.
Is it smoke?
Friday. JR, got a bong. He's ready to go.
JR, do you go new shoes, point of no return, or expose, point of no return in that spot?
Wow. I would probably have to go new shoes, actually. That's old school. Like, early 80s, right?
Because Jeff mentioned it, that the Sox injuries are at the point of no return. I'm thinking I'm going new shoes, which you probably hear at the United Center during most Bulls games.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I was getting the phone.
Or G. McDaniel's point of no return also. Yeah, you could, by the way, you can hear our guy, JR, this weekend on Will Rock.
Will Rock.
This weekend.
Did you already record that show?
Hey, don't rule me.
You guys are unbelievable. Seriously.
Hey, wait a minute, Cap. You're not supposed to reveal the radio tricks. There's no voice tracking. Take that. Good. Cap, can we do that someday?
Yes.
Can we just voice track our show and just set it in? There's the show.
I thought I saw Jonathan Hood in St. Lucia. They're on the air right now.
Did you already?
Boy, there's no delay from there.
I tracked it 2 days ago.
I saw Cap at the East Bank Club at 7 a.m. Isn't he on at 7? He's on the weight rack. Take that. Can we do that? Can we just voice track our show and just send it in?
That's it.
Man, don't give up the radio secrets.
Midnight to 6, by the way. Thanks.
There you go.
Yeah, he'll be on live.
Make sure that's turned in by like 11, okay?
All right.
All right. All I'm going to say to you is this.
Will Rock.
I know that there is a guy that, well, they're kind of good. They might not be good.
Carm?
Carm.
Uh-huh.
Who's sitting in his office right now getting ready for the Odds Couple taping.
I didn't know that was taped. All right. Well, you're breaking down the fourth wall big time.
Big time.
No secrets around here, apparently.
So,
all right.
Carm's sitting there going, yeah, they're winning, whatever, Tony. This. All I'm telling you is, man, your team is decimated by injury. Decimated. And that team is still really freaking good. You just took two out of three from a really good Toronto team. That's a good team. You beat Hinge and Ryu last night. That's a good win, man. I'm just telling you. This team, yeah. If they can make the right move to get a second baseman, Rick Hahn has the ability to go make a good trade. He doesn't have to go trade for a Hall of Famer, but a solid second base. What about the guy on the Pirates? Miller. Adam Frazier. What about a guy like that? The Pirates suck. You can't give them a prospect for a guy like that?
Sure.
We'll give you Sogard. We'll get our vaccination rate up.
Come on, man. I mean, what is this now? I mean, just taking shots left and right. Would you leave him alone?
No.
Leave him alone. He's not the only one. Leave him alone. You make Sogard like the face of all of this.
Okay, Arrieta.
All right, that's better.
There's got to be somebody out there you guys could trade for from a crappy team. I'm not talking about somebody that's going to start in the All-Star. Yeah, you're not getting Jose Altuve, but there's some bad teams that will say, all right, take my second baseman. Give me a Class A pitcher. Well, let's go.
This is it. Here's how we do it on the White Sox on the South Side. We just take it one series at a time. Now it's the Tigers. We got to beat up on them. Here, I feel good about the Toronto series because it's a team that's over 500. It's pretty good.
I'm telling you.
I'll take that. But now, then Tampa, then Houston. But I'll take it one series at a time. Because here's the thing. You have to tread water while this is going on, Cap. With all the injuries that they've had, I mean, now it's on La Russa to really try to put this together with, you know, tongue depressors and Elmer's glue to make sure this lineup is intact.
312-332-3776. Was Russell Wilson really ever on the trade block? Bears made a massive offer, but did they ever really have a shot? You'll hear what he had to say next. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Boy, somebody's been working with Mike. This is good music, man.
No, that's probably working with me in that spot. Probably me.
This is good.
Jimi Hendrix? Yeah, it's probably me.
This is really good. Mike? I don't think Mike has that kind of depth of knowledge of music.
No.
No shot.
No. I knew that from day one, though.
Take that, Mike. 312-332-3776. Don't forget Anthony Rizzo at 9:35. Jesse on the Sox and Cubs. Top of the hour, that would be 8 o'clock in about 5 minutes. Anyway, so let's talk about Russell Wilson, because the reports were Pro Football Talk, I think, had it first, that at the pro day for Trey Lance in North Dakota, Ryan Pace and the GM, John Schneider, for the Seahawks met outside, and Pace made a massive offer for Russell Wilson. Multiple number ones, a potential really good defensive starter, and the Seahawks GM reportedly was on board. Okay, if this guy wants out of here, I could rebuild my team on the fly. Pete Carroll then flew to meet Russell Wilson, and Russell said, we had more conversations this offseason than we've had in a long time. We're in a good place, and I never asked to be traded, even though his agent came out and said, here's the four places he'll go if you want to trade him.
All those shows we did, we'll never get those shows back. All those Seahawks and Bears deals, Russell Wilson comes to the, we'll never get that time back. We talked about that for a month.
We did.
No, it's not. But see, it goes back to what the professor John Clayton told us from ESPN Seattle. He told us, he says, you know, his agent's kind of a neophyte. He's really a baseball agent. But, you know, Russell Wilson.
Mark Rogers, right?
Yeah, he's still aligned with them. So, you know, even though there's four teams that his agent's going to put out there, you know, there might be some issues with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, but not enough that he's going to force a trade. And you see, all those quotes that we read and heard, we see now that Russell Wilson, at least for the short term, is going to stay with Seattle.
Okay, so Russell Wilson's going to stay there. We're in a good place. I never called out the offensive line. That's not true. Dwayne Brown, one of their studs on the offensive line, is one of my best friends. And so we're in a good place, and the Seahawks are aligned with him. I personally believe, and I've said this on the show, the Bears are in a better place having Justin Fields and all their draft capital and developing this young asset rather than giving 42 draft picks and $40 million a year to a guy in his 30s who wants a lot of say on everything you're going to do.
Well, I think it all depends on your view of the Bears. Do you feel that the Bears are close? And you say, boy, you just need a quarterback to tip it in. Russell Wilson will get you closer to where you want to be to the Super Bowl than Justin Fields today. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields is not on the field today. That's the only reason why I say that. If it's true that Andy Dalton was promised the starting job, doesn't mean that we won't see Justin. But you know day one, if you made that deal, that Russell Wilson would be the starter today.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, at his age, could get you to where you want to be today. Closer, at least closer to where you want to be, right?
Yep.
If you feel that Justin Fields is the better deal because you don't have to trade any draft picks, that's fine. Because remember, the general manager that's in place for the Bears is not very good in early parts of the draft and making deals. We already saw this with Trubisky, right? So it just, to me, I would have loved to see Russell Wilson here. But to know that Justin Fields is here, I also feel good because I know the future is bright.
Agreed.
Russell would be the immediate, and I think that Fields would be the immediate and the future.
Yeah, I like where they're at, and now develop this kid properly, and let's see where it goes. This is Keyshawn from the KJZ Show. He agrees with me. Bears are better off with Fields over Wilson.
You got 3-1s, players coming back to them to get Russell Wilson. You can't even build out your team and your roster to help mm-hmm. you advance if that's what you're really trying to do. It on the surface, it sounded good. It looked good. Ooh, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But in the end, you best serve long-term to have Justin Fields underneath center. I've never seen a young quarterback come into a situation that is somewhat ready to go, ready to pop. And not have success. Usually young quarterbacks that go in the first round, they go to sorry-ass teams.
Yes.
Mm. The Bears aren't sorry. The Bears are a good football team. They just need to figure out the QB thing.
Put that on the poll, JR, at Cap J Hood. Who would you rather have today, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? I'd love to see how that comes back because I think Fields will win that. I just want to see the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious to how that would work. Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? Again, if Russell Wilson was your starter, you'd be happy because now you feel like you could, especially with Rodgers possibly be out of the conference, out of the division, that guy can get you where you want to be quickly.
The one thing is, if you dropped Russell Wilson on here and his, whatever, $38 million salary.
Sure.
Who's not on this roster? Who's not here? Plus,
defensive
what was
players.
The rumored deal? Three ones and two twos. And a defensive player. So is it Roquan? You take 3 ones, two twos, Roquan Smith off this team. I'm not so sure you're a good football team.
These trades that we see now, Cap, you can actually give less, apparently. These big deals like the Julio Jones, others, you actually try to get less and still be able to get to where you want to be. You could. Yeah. Everything's in negotiation.
Yeah, I don't think for a quarterback.
How about Julio Jones?
32-year-old, banged up and a lot of money. Only one team bidding. That's the difference.
It's interesting.
312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers was down on the farm last night. He joins us in 2 minutes.